Invite you to turn with me to Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, but Hebrews 3, would you start there with me? And Romans 8, 34. If you turn to Romans, put one spot in Romans 8, 34 and Hebrews 3. The end of this message, we are going to sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise. We're going to say in song to each other, but to our own souls, if we're actually thinking about the words that we're going to sing, arise, my soul. Arise. Like, wake up. Shake off all your guilty fears. Just shake them off. Arise. Be triumphant. The bleeding sacrifice. There's a sacrifice and it's bleeding, and it's not from a goat, it's not from a bull, it's bleeding from Jesus Christ. On my behalf, it appears before God, and a great high priest has gone before God, just like in the Old Testament, with blood not their own, and sprinkles it on the mercy seat. And before that mercy seat, there is a security that is there that's mine. And it's provided by Jesus Christ, so I can boldly come to Him and I'm accepted because this high priest has my literal, my name upon his hands. I pray that we'll be able to sing that with all our heart and love it and rejoice in it. I want you to imagine here as I'm beginning to preach, you hear the mumblings and increased noise from this back room because there's a voice going on. There's something happening in this prayer room. And you hear it, and if I stop preaching and we just listen, and there is someone back there praying for me as I preach. He's praying for you as I preach. And it's not Moses who interceded for the people of Israel. It's not the great David, the king, who we've learned so much about prayer in the Psalms. It's not Daniel who prayed three times a day faithfully, all of whom were heard by God. But imagine it is the one who is born of a virgin, raised in Nazareth. He's the son of a carpenter. He's the Son of God by whom all things were made. He is the light of the world. He is the door for the sheep. He is the bread of life. He is the one who speaks and changes everything, says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes from the dead, who talks to the blind and says, have sight, and they see. And those who were deaf hear, and the lame walk, he is praying. And he's praying for us. In fact, while he's not in this back room, he is praying for you and me if you are a believer right now. He is interceding on our behalf. Not in that back room, but in heaven. In fact, we'll sing this in a few minutes. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one, that's Christ. That's what the word Christ means, anointed one. The Father hears him pray, the dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood. The Spirit answers to the blood. What blood? His blood shed for us on the cross and says, you are born of God. Look with me at Romans 8, 34, one of the most precious passages of Scripture. Paul says this in concluding this glorious chapter, talking about our no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who have faith in him. He has died with them, died for them, and we have died in Christ. Who is to condemn? Verse 34. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Interceding. To intercede means to intervene on behalf of someone else. Usually we mean it in the context of praying for someone. Will you intercede for me? Will you go to God and pray for me so that I can get through this medical exam or surgery, or I can get through this difficult day? Or will you intercede for my mother so that she will be saved? Will you pray to God on my behalf for her? Hebrews 1 says, we saw this last week, verses 1 through 3, long ago and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, but in this last day, he has spoken to us through his Son. That's Jesus is our great prophet. May we listen to him, light our way and light our hearts as he proclaims the good news and is the good news. He proclaims it, and he is the good news. This morning, we see another aspect. It says that this Son, whom he appointed Son, is the heir of all things, by whom God created the world through this Son, Jesus, who came and spoke to us. And it says that after making purification for our sins, what does that mean? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Isaiah 53, one of the greatest prophecies of the Messiah suffering on the cross for our sins, says this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Verse 12, he ends this song of suffering of the servant and says these words, prophecy. He, that's God, poured out his, or that's Jesus, poured out his soul to death. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Brothers and sisters, and if you're not, when I say brothers and sisters, I say those who are in Christ Jesus, because we become part of his family, as we'll see even in this message this morning. I pray that at this Christmas season, of all seasons, but not just at this Christmas season, but this Christmas season particularly, there would begin in you a greater delight in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has come to save us, speaking life into our hearts as our great prophet, as we saw last week. And this morning is our great priest, who does what no priest could ever do, but all of the priests in all of the Old Testament and all of the priests in even pagan literature that at least point us to, that there is a deity that we do not match up to, and we cannot draw near to him because we are not holy and we cannot come approach him, and he is angry with our sin. And because of that, that is a big problem. And boy, do we need someone to intercede. We need somebody to come in between and be a priest for us to say, now you can. Now you can approach. Now you can receive mercy. Now you can receive help. And dare to dream, because he promises us not just make it in the presence of God, but to thrive and delight as family and friends who are made and brought near because of our great high priest, Jesus. I said turn to Hebrews because it's all over the book of Hebrews. I would just commend to you for the rest of this Advent Christmas season to just page through with a pen or highlighter and go through Hebrews. And every time you come to a talk about priest, and then especially as it points us to the priest, this priest, I want you to think, joy to the world, he has come not just our king, we'll see that next week. Oh, but my priest. Let me point you to a few things. Chapter 2. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. A priest is someone who serves God, or a deity, in this case, God, who comes before God and serves God on behalf of the people, and that priest has to be uniquely special. He needs to be of the people and to be able to be a representative of that people, but he comes and he's made holy, and he comes into the holy presence of God, appointed by that deity, God, in order to make offer sacrifices. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers, that's who we are, brothers and sisters. We share a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Or look at chapter 5. Or chapter 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now in chapter 5, verse 1, he tells us again what priests do. Every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. It goes on and says he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. And Jesus was beset with weakness, not like the high priests in the Old Testament. And the high priests in the Old Testament were beset with weakness because they were sinners. And they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins and then ceremonially for the sins of the people. But this high priest was beset with weakness. He became a man and he was tempted in every way, so that he could be a sympathetic, merciful high priest who is absolutely excellent and be a go-between in order that we could draw near and be acceptable to God. Now, this morning, as we are in the midst of Christmas season, I want to worship Jesus. I want you to worship Jesus. I want you to adore Jesus. I want you to just glorify him. I want you to just pour out your heart. We sing about it all year long. We sing every third week. We stand up and come up and we take of this table, the Lord's Supper, and we come and take bread and wine and we say, this is his body and this is his blood. And we go, we really say, Jesus, my Savior, is my high priest. You see, a priest, and Jesus as our high priest, functions and does two vital things for us. He comes and he offers, makes offering. The old term was he makes an oblation. He offers, Hebrews 5 says, he offers a gift and a sacrifice for sins. He offers a sacrifice. In this case, he offers his own life. And then they sacrifice, that in their offering, they intercede. They make petitions and prayers. They are a go-between before God. And then they come out and they bless the people. There are two things that I want to just point to you this morning about Jesus, our great high priest. Two primary things. Number one, Christ died as our priest to save us. And two, Christ lives as our priest to keep us. Okay? Get that in your mind. Christ died as our priest to save us. Think of what the angel said, both to Joseph and to Mary. But to Joseph, you shall call him Jesus. Why Jesus? Because it has to do with that word Joshua. It means Jehovah's our Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. And it was John the Baptist, his cousin, born of Elizabeth, who goes through, and when in once he's an adult and he's in his ministry, John the Baptist sees Jesus across the river and he says, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John 1. Number one, Jesus died as our priest to save us. Number two, Jesus lives as our priest to keep us. This is so important. We have a desperate need. Our condition apart from Jesus, our high priest, is that God's wrath is against us, and he is absolutely right to be angry with us. We are sinners in rebellion to God, just like Adam. We fell with Adam, and we fell like Adam did. And we have transgressed God's law. We fall short of the glory of God. We were meant to bear his image instead. We don't give praise to or thanks to him, but we go after other things and worship other things, including ourselves, and go our own way. Like sheep, we have gone astray. And it is a big deal because God is holy and righteous, and our rebellion is great. And it is a bad thing. And we are all born in it. I hope you're not under the wrath of the Almighty God today. If you're under his condemnation, it's a big deal. We live in a world that hates the idea of shame and quickly points to the fact that we shouldn't shame anyone, but the reality is all of us will face a shame that is worse than we could ever imagine unless something is remedied that only God could remedy in Jesus. Our wrath is a big deal. God's wrath is right, and it's against us until Christ comes in and does something for you. And we, because of our sin, aren't just choosing to sin, which we do choose to sin. We are slaves to sin. We are in bondage to sin, and we are in bondage to the devil in some ways where it's become like he's our father. He is a liar, and we believe his lies, and we are of our father, the devil. We are children of wrath like all mankind, and death has dominion over us, and boy, do we have a problem there. To add to that, all of that, this wrath and slavery to sin has led to complete distance from God, and so we are so far off, we are enemies of God, whether you say it or not. If you do not believe him and his son Jesus, you are in state of enemy territory with God the Father, the creator of the heavens and earth. And that is a big deal. That's a problem that all mankind has. That is the problem of which the good news brings light and life and rescue and good news. Christ died as our priest to save us from the wrath of God, from our slavery to sin, and our enmity with God who is in heaven. There are many ways we could talk about why Jesus, and you could pour through especially the book of Hebrews. Romans 8, who is to condemn? Is it God, his wrath on you? Paul says, Christ has died. More than that, he was raised. He is at the right hand of God. He is interceding. He's a priest for you. There are many ways in which we could talk about Jesus as our high priest who died to save us. And Hebrews says it many times, like Hebrews 10:12, when Christ offered, here's the priest, offered for all time a single sacrifice. Not like the high priest who year after year after year after year had to do it repeatedly, ceremonially as a picture. But it didn't really take away sins. He sat down at the right hand, meaning completed. No more need to go do it. Or Hebrews 7:27, he did this once for all, when he offered himself up. There are three ways in which scriptures speak and meet our needs here. Jesus, in offering himself as this high priest, and by the way, get this connection. In the last week, we said Jesus is the messenger of the good news, and he is the message of the good news. Jesus is the offerer of the sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice. And he did it in three ways. He made his death on the cross when Jesus came, and he was born in a manger in order to die on a cross, to raise from the dead, and to do a ministry that he is continuing right now. Number one, he died in order to make propitiation for sins. It means to offer an appeasing sacrifice that God would no longer be angry with us. Hebrews 2:17 says he had to become like his brothers to be a merciful, faithful high priest in order to make propitiation for the sins of his people, just like in the Old Testament they did. Or in Romans 3:25, that God put forth Jesus to be the propitiation by his blood. When Jesus died for sinners, Jesus says, my holy righteous justice, that if you ignore that, the whole world crumbles, is upheld, and my right wrath towards sin, of which I wouldn't be holy or a good God if I wasn't against sin and wickedness, is appeased and satisfied. He sees the blood, and he's satisfied, and he accepts us, and he is not angry with us. That's propitiation. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in his obedience, living and dying for our sins. We could look to John, 1 John 2:2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus became sin to save us, and he absorbed the wrath of God. Amen. Our Savior did that. This priest did more than that. In doing that propitiation, he redeemed us. A slave needs to be purchased from their slavery and brought to freedom. That's where we get the concept of redemption. When Jesus offered up himself as the great high priest offering a sacrifice, Hebrews 9 says, Christ appeared as the high priest. He entered the holy places, not by animal blood, but by the means of his own blood, by dying, and thus securing an eternal redemption. He redeemed us. We sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I can't pay any of it. He didn't pay most of it, and I paid a little of it. He paid all of it. And he, our great high priest, came and did that. If you are saved, it's because he satisfied the wrath of God by making his life a propitiation for your sins, and he redeemed you and purchased you out of slavery because of your sins by his own death. So many great stories in literature speak of a great hero, whether it be Frodo in The Lord of the Rings, laying his life down. He's just a little shadow of this great rescuer laying himself down for the world. And here we have Jesus. It says, in his redeeming us with his blood, he provides that we are forgiven. And God does not count our sins against us, but instead counts Jesus' righteousness to us. That's justification. And we could go on, and we could speak sermon after sermon. But one last thing is, we could say he propitiated as a high priest in offering himself by dying for us to save us. And he redeemed us from our slavery to sin and death and the devil, so we no longer are owed up to them. He didn't pay the devil. The devil doesn't get anything. He poured out to God, God's righteous, just statement. And it resulted in God's forgiveness to us. And third, died for our reconcile, being reconciled to God. To be reconciled to God, be reconciled, is to end hostility, to bring what was an enemy into friendship, in this case, into family. Romans 5 says we have peace with God, no longer enmity or war, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 9 of that, that since we are justified by his blood, the blood of this priest, we have been saved from the wrath of God. He propitiated us. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Oh, I pray that we would rejoice in this reality and will talk of this reality to others. Others need it. If they have not been reconciled to God, they're in big trouble, but they can receive this offer of good news. We sing, once an enemy, now seated at the table. Jesus, thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, he, Christ, reconciled us to himself. And he moves us all as Christians into this ministry of reconciling others and say, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, because this great high priest offered sacrifice. And it says it this way in verse 21, God made him, this great high priest, born in a manger, come to earth, our great high priest, great offer who died. God made him, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf in order that we might have the righteousness of God. His wrath is appeased. We're redeemed from our sins, and God is happy, happy, happy with us. Why? Because when he sees us, he sees his son. Now, who gets this? Who gets this saving? Oh, this is so important. Please lean into this reality. Who receives this is all who receive the Son by faith. They are justified by faith. They have peace with God. Propitiation comes from those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you go, I can't save it. I couldn't participate in being in that offering for sin to appease God's wrath. Somebody else had to do it. And he did it for me. There is no way you could do enough in this life in order to fulfill God's law, because you've already broken God's law. And you can't undo that breaking. Only Jesus could. And all who receive him by trusting and turning away from themselves. Now, I want you to see something that many of us, we hear about, but I don't think we think and meditate on enough. Not only is Christ this great dying high priest for us to be saved, he gave his life so that we would live. We know he's alive, but he is alive still as our high priest in order to keep us. Number two, Christ lives as our priest to keep us. I love this. If the first one is, it's a once for all offering, salvation is accomplished. The second is, it is an ever living intercession, and it's our salvation getting applied to us every day, and he actively does it. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 says, he that began a good work in you, salvation, will bring it to completion to the end. We said in Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Is there anyone here that could say, who can condemn? I don't sin anymore. Not one of us could say that. Who is to condemn? Could you say, you're saying you don't have sins when you meet your judge? And the answer is, Christ Jesus is the one that died. If he died for my sins and I have to pay for my sins, God wouldn't be just. It would be like he would say, yeah, but. Yeah, Jesus paid for him, but I'm going to still judge you for your sins. Jesus is the one who died. But then it says, more than that, he was raised. Now, what's that for? Of course, we could go, it's for a lot of things. It demonstrated his God and his victory over death. of sin, but it says he is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, present tense. He is interceding. That means that he is interceding for us right now. Historically, the church has understood that to mean that Jesus is right now at the Father's right hand for all those he died for, all the God's elect, all God's saved people who will be saved to the end. He is interceding for them. And that means at least that he is there interceding by his presence, which we'll sing about in it, and arise, my soul, arise. And I want to point that out to you in a minute. He's interceding to us by his presence, and I think his prayers. The Bible doesn't say in heaven he's literally praying, but I think it implies this. There's a type of he's praying for his people. I want you to imagine what happened in the Old Testament when sacrifices. I've already started to talk about this. There was three phases of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And you read about this in Numbers 16, and or in Leviticus 16, and you find that first thing that the high priest would do on that great day is he would kill the animal, slaughter the animal that was the sacrifice and the shed blood. And he would do it outside either the tent or the temple. He would do it outside, and then he would take, there was some things that would happen between that. He would then take, that's phase one, that is a type of Jesus, where Jesus was slaughtered outside the camp on the hill Calvary. He was our offering. He was our propitiation. He was our redemption. He was our reconciliation. He was the offering for sin. Then the priest would then take blood and incense, and they would go into the place where no one else could go, and he better not go unless he was prepared, and he had the right garments and the right process, and he was set apart and holy by God, though he was a sinner, all the high priests in the Old Testament. He would go into the place called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, also called the mercy seat. And in there, he would enter into there. Now that is a picture of, I believe, Jesus Christ having died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven 40 days later. Jesus ascended into the Holy of Holies in heaven, which is the real thing. And the Old Testament pictures of the tabernacle and the temple were a shadow, a copy of the things in heaven. And he sat down the mercy seat at the right hand of the majesty on high. We're going to see what that means next week, and that he is king and he is reigning and he is glorious and his rule will have no end. He's a king priest, but he is a priest. And he is at the right hand of God. And what the third phase in which the priests would do is they would sprinkle blood seven times on the mercy seat on the altar. The blood from the killed animal that was making atonement. Death happened. So he could sprinkle and provide blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat as a picture of saying, have mercy on the people of Israel. Have mercy on sinners. Accept us. Appease your wrath. Be reconciled. Redeem us, O God. And he would pour out incense for the God's people, prayers up, which was a symbol of prayers of thanksgiving and a praise and petition unto God. That is a picture, I believe, of what Jesus Christ is doing right now. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding at very least with his presence. And in his presence before the Father, all those who have been saved, the Father looks at us real kindly, real lovingly, forever, because the Son is at his side. He is his mediator. And the book of Hebrews is all about saying, so draw near to him. Come near to him. What do you have to be ashamed of? What do you have to be afraid of? If you come in his name, he is your priest. He is right there, and Jesus is at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is interceding. And I love this reality. We sang this before the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. I think he's pleading, he's saying, I died for him. I died for her. My blood was shed for her. He is one of your redeemed. He is your son, Father. You gave him to me, and I fulfilled all righteousness. Now receive him. See my blood. See my blood. We're going to sing this. We're going to sing these verses. This verse is verse 3 of Arise, My Soul. Maybe you've never noticed this. Maybe you haven't sung this verse before. It goes, John Wesley wrote this hundreds of years ago, 5 bleeding wounds he bears. He's talking about as the high priest at the right hand of God, received on Calvary on the cross, 5 bleeding wounds. What's the 5 bleeding wounds? His hands, 2, his feet, 2, his side. That's the symbolism. He received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayer. Who's they? Is that a plural? He's using that metaphorically, poetically to say, it's as though Jesus' wounds are praying. Jesus' wounds are go to the Father and say, I suffered for that person. I suffered for that person. See these wounds? Remember this person. These wounds are not in vain. It says, they strongly plead for me. This is what they plead. Forgive them. Oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. Let that blood-bought, purchased, ransomed sinner die. He is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. All of Hebrews say we have a high priest. There's none like him. There's none like this high priest. He is holy without sin. He is unstained. He is separated from sinners. He is holy and innocent, unlike the high priests of old. He has gone to the heavenly place, not just the picture on earth, but he went to heaven and he's at the right hand of God. He is a perpetual priest. He doesn't die, but he lives forever because he's of the order of Melchizedek. We don't have time for that, but you go to the book of Hebrews for that. He's never dying. He is authoritative. I will pray for you. You pray for me, but you don't have the authority before God like Jesus does. Jesus has been appointed as a guarantee of this great covenant, as a mediator, and he's sitting right there. He has all the authority, and he goes, you told me to pray, and I'm praying. And the Father says, absolutely, I love these children, and you're part of the means of bringing them into glory. That's what Jesus does at the right hand of the Father for you and me. He is so unique. He's the mediator of the covenant. He is special. He is given ransom, and he's there before the Father as he prays for us. And he prays with legal things in mind. When Satan wants to condemn us and say, he is a dirty, rotten, lusting, lying, complaining, grumbling, proud sinner still. No condemnation, Jesus says. He's in me. He's covered by the blood. He's white. His garments are washed in my garments of righteousness. There's no condemnation. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And changing metaphor from priest to lawyer, it's as though we are in the dock or the court and we are indicted. Grand jury has said we're guilty, and we're there, and we know they've got us dead to right. The evidence is against us. We feel our shame, our guilt, and we deserve to be crushed by the eternal punishment of death. And our great advocate comes and says, I have evidence to the contrary. And it's evidence that is provided by his own life and death. My blood. And the judge says, innocent on behalf of the righteous one. This is glorious. We have an intercessor. He is effectual. Jesus has never, ever failed or lost a case before the holy courts of heaven. His priesthood is completely, he bats 1,000 to say it, crudely. He wins all his cases as he brings it before in intercession and prayer. Everyone he prays for are saved. Like Peter, when he says, Peter, Satan has wanted to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And your faith, when you return, strengthen your brethren. You will return because I prayed for you and you will be maintained. He protects us with his prayer and he never fails, this great, compassionate high priest. Oh, this is so good. He holds his priest permanently because he continues forever. It says in Hebrews 9. Consequently, actually Hebrews 7, 25, he is able to save to the utmost all who draw near to him or through to God through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession. So friends, there's a way in which we rejoice today to say, thank you for what you did in the past, great high priest, saving me and dying on the cross, offering yourself. Thank you for continuing to save me by keeping me to the end at the right hand of the Father, always interceding and interceding to help me as I fight against sin, as I fight against Satan, as I fight against in this pilgrimage. You have not stopped caring for me and being a presence for me. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on your behalf appears. Oh, what should this mean to us as we end this time? Draw near to God, Hebrews would say. You have a priest, so draw near. Don't be afraid. Draw near, but not in yourself because you could never draw near to yourself, but draw near because of Jesus. Come to God and receive forgiveness. If you're a non-Christian, what this message means is good news. You can believe and be saved, and he will satisfy the wrath of God and be really happy with you because of what Jesus did for you, because you receive his offering and he dies to save you. It is good news because he purchases and ransoms you from slavery to sin and makes you a child of God and reconciling you to himself. You need him. He is the only high priest. You can't do it at all. He is the Lamb of God. Would you receive him? And he cannot be a failure in this enterprise if you turn to him. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to him, to come to God through Jesus. Save to the uttermost. You can think you're the worst sinner. He's a better Savior. You can think you're too far away. You're not too far away. Turn to him. This also means true comfort food this Christmas season to the soul. This is comfort food to this Christian soul. Oh, I pray that this some of you are doubting Christians, doubting your salvation, doubting because you know you're a sinner, feeling accused and lacking assurance of salvation, knowing that you're struggling with your sin and sometimes depressed and in despair. Oh, may the comfort food of the gospel be something that brings your soul relief, knowing that you have a merciful high priest. You have a forgiving high priest. You have a personal high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies. On his chest were 12 gems symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel, as saying, I'm going on behalf of the people of Israel. He goes on behalf of your name on himself, and he says, your name is graven on my hand. And he says, I plead for you, and I always succeed, and you will be saved and kept to the end. Would you have that assurance and joy as you fight against sin and again confess your sins to the Lord, knowing he forgives you? What a glorious comfort to know that Jesus is always interceding. It's not just a past event, but he right now is there with his presence and his words on our behalf. Robert Murray McShane said maybe 250 years ago, he says, oh, that we should make a study of the ministry of Jesus' intercession for us. He says, Jesus is praying if we heard Jesus praying in the next room, I would not be afraid of a million fears that I fear. And he is in heaven on our behalf. If God is for us, and he is because of Christ, who can be against us? And oh, should this make us worship. This should make us worship our Lord Jesus. Come and worship. Come and worship this King, this Savior, this priest. Worship him because he's love and he's wisdom and he's patience and he's gentleness. He's endurance. God is not the bad guy and Jesus just appeased him. Don't get that wrong. God sent his son because God and the son are on the same page and they always have and always will be. And they love you if you're in Christ and have been saved. Oh, worship. And lastly, because Jesus is your priest and you are united to this priest, he makes you a priest. 1 Peter says, we have a royal priesthood that we have now, by which we mean we can go directly to God. We don't need other priests. You don't call me a priest. Jesus is our priest. And we are like priests bringing others to God by our opening the message and offering this good news. Arise, my soul. Will you sing that? Will you sing that? Invite the worship team to come up. Arise, my soul, arise. Oh, shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety, my security stands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for all our race and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Would you stand as I pray? Father, oh God, I pray that you would call sinners to repentance. You would bring us to Christ. We would trust in him. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to feast joyfully as we sing this song and as we think this reality. And I pray that we would love you and we would love your son. And when we think and sing Christmas carols this year, we would think a Savior, my sacrifice, my propitiation, my redemption, my reconciliation, my offering, my interceder, my high priest, my all in all. I pray that we would love him all the more and follow and obey and trust and draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen.